This podcast is powered by Personio, helping you to remove complexities from core HR processes so you can focus on what really matters, your people. Visit personio.nl/people masterminds for more information.
Well, hi there. Welcome to this tutorial, including video, on our YouTube channel of the People Masterminds podcast. I'm Evelise, and I'm joined by my smart-ass colleague, Crystal. Today, we're going to talk about HR systems and, more importantly, how to convince the CEO, CFO, or any other stakeholder that you need one.
Yes, that's right, because we all know that managing your HR processes can be really time-consuming, especially if you don't automate them well.
But fear not, because we have John Moore, aka Data John, to the rescue.
Hey, everyone.
John is an HR tech and data mastermind who loves to digitalize the people and culture function. He knows all about choosing the right tooling and creating processes to set a foundation for strong growth.
So today we're not going to talk the talk, but going to walk the walk. We're going to share with you a step-by-step approach how to make a convincing business case for the implementation of an HRIS, HR information system. And we have a couple of amazing templates for you to share.
Well, that sounds promising, doesn't it? So, Data John, let's go.
What I want to do is set the scene to start with. So, you're a head of people at your company. You've been growing really quickly over the last few months, few years. A lot of processes have started to develop within your company. But most likely they're either in your head or someone else's head.
Sounds familiar.
Those processes are generally very, very manual, not very well automated.
Excel sheets.
Yeah. Excel sheets is where you probably keep all of your data. And it's probably in a couple of different payroll systems that pretend to be HR systems, but are not really HR systems. You're growing fast and you're hiring very quickly. But you know a system's going to help you save time, automate your processes, as we shared, and also improve your employee experience. But it costs money, and it comes on a bunch of other different priorities that your CEO or CFO will be trying to think about what they want to invest in. And your challenge is to try and convince those main stakeholders that you need a HRIS system and the reasons why you need that system and the reason why it's important to invest in the system.
Okay, so I'm a people leader and I'm convinced that I need an HR system. John, what's the first thing that I should do now?
Yeah, so for me, when starting on this, before you go out to the market or talk to anyone else, is look internally and understand what your current pain points are. What is it that you are trying to solve with the system that you are trying to purchase? And to do that, you need to gather your must-haves, your requirements. Things you can think of in terms of what those requirements might be could be something related to how do you want to customize the system? What key integrations does it have? Does it play nicely with the other tools that you've already purchased or are thinking about purchasing? Does it include a preliminary payroll?
Difficult word, right?
Yeah, even for a native English person. What experience that you want to have or your employees to have, but also your HR team to have when they were using the systems. There's a lot of different areas that you can jump into, performance management, those sort of things that will vary from company to company as to what your absolute must-haves are. And also the systems that are out there in the market also have different strengths. So it's important to have those must-haves and your current pain points in mind and list those out before you have any further conversations externally.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And also, you also mentioned that how that system can work together with other systems, because sometimes we have a lot of different systems, right? We have an HR system, we have a payroll system, we have an applicant tracking system, a performance management system. While sometimes a really good HR system can tackle more of these challenges as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's a lot of options in there in the market that can help you with those with those sort of things. And that conversation that you will have with your stakeholders becomes much easier if you're reducing the number of systems that you maybe have and then just talking about one, bringing in one system that makes that conversation a lot easier later on.
Yeah. And an HR system in combination with an applicant tracking system, what do you both think of that?
Well, you know, most talent acquisition directors and recruiters, they file for a separate system because it's extremely specialized. But I do know that developments go pretty fast. So it wouldn't surprise me if there already is a system in the market that can offer both with great experience, also dependent on the number of applicants that you need to track, the hires, the departmental size, etc.
I think that's I see that as well in the market too. I think any recruiter will tell you that being a recruiter is a specialism, and the tool you need to support that is also a specialist tool. And I think whenever you're looking at the market and evaluating those things, keeping those things in mind is if you maybe go with an all-in-one system, then it might not be as specialist as you're looking for, but maybe that's all you need for the period that you're in right now. And that's also a sort of a balance that you can make in your sort of must-haves and nice-to-haves list.
And of course, it's also budget. So dependent on what you can spend and how you can save money by getting it in one system. And John, you were discussing the must-haves, and I think we know this as the requirements list. It's smart, of course, to involve others to make sure that you pick their brains and gather all data there is. But also, sometimes it's difficult to decide and to understand what you truly need. Can you support us a bit with that, maybe?
Yeah, I have a magic cheat sheet that I use with different clients to help. Yeah, exactly. It helps to, I think what I like to bring is structure those things, and what we will provide after this together with this is a download where you can use this magic cheat sheet to help you in your conversations. And what it does is it puts different blocks of the different things that you need to think about together, and you can think about what are your must-haves and nice-to-haves from the system, and gives you some things to think about that you may not already have started to think about. And I found that it works really well with the different companies that I've used it with in the past.
I love this present.
So you filled in your magic cheat sheet, and then what's the second step you should take?
Yeah, so you now have an idea of what you're looking for. You know what your must-haves are. And there's a whole market out there of companies that will want to show you an amazing system and tell you how to how it works, how to use it, and what they can do with it. Now is your moment to go and evaluate the market using those must-haves that you have, and really focus on the must-have. So look at the different tools that are out there. Look at the different options that they have, and select tools where you want to see demos from. That include or cover all of the must-haves that you have in your list. That's really the most important thing that you need to do from your first round of demos, is to make sure you tick off those must-haves. So don't be afraid to ask them to show you things, to demo things, to really give you an idea of what's possible with a system.
Yeah, because I have a question about that. Because I have experienced several times that they say that something is possible if you ask that question because it's a must-have on your list. Yeah, that's no problem.
Sales people.
Well, once you bought the system, it turns out to work a little bit differently. How can you, make sure that you don't have that problem?
Yeah, that's that comes up a lot. I think salespeople will say anything to make a sale. That's the general rule of thumb. And I think one of the things, or one of the tricks that I have to make sure to avoid that happening, is to ask them to demo you something that you really want to see. So if you have a particular performance management, a way of doing performance management, for example, let them show you how it works within the system. Or if you have a particularly complex payroll that you need to do, have them show you how you can build that in the system, how you can connect with the different payroll providers in the countries that you're in. And what I found is those HR systems will show you, and will take the time to show you what's possible. And by having them do that, you then sort of dig down as to whether things are really possible in the system. And also, they will always make promises regarding the roadmap and what's possible. Another thing that I try to do to get ahead of that is all of them in all of the key players will always tell you what they've done in the last few months to improve their system. And what I always try to ask is okay, what feedback have you taken on board from your clients? Can you show me in the last sort of your product updates what it is that you've taken on board? And show me sort of how you've moved the product forward and where you want to take the product as well, because I think that's also important. If you know where they're trying to take the platform, you can also understand if it's the right choice for you and if they're really going to invest time in something that's really important for you.
Yeah. So what's on the roadmap as well? You know, I think I recognize that pitfall because I had many yeses in the past, and then suddenly when I started working with the system, it couldn't do what I wanted. But I also discovered that basically I didn't ask the right questions. So just an answer to your first question probably is not enough, and you need to deep dive into the answer to understand the possibilities. Yep. So if I start my demos, what's a regular number? I mean, you don't want to go to 15 demos, do you? So what do you recommend? What is reasonable?
It depends on how much time you have. If I'm doing it, then I want to see as many demos as possible. But that's because I like understanding what system.
That's because you're data junk.
No, I think realistically, I think if you have your list of must-haves and really you do your long list of what's out there in the market and narrow it down, you'll probably end up with around 2 to 3 different companies. I would try to keep it to 3 so you get a real mix of companies that meet your, what you on paper meet your must-haves. I wouldn't do any more than that because, yeah, as you hear from the types of conversations you need to have with them, it will cost you a lot of time, and you will start to have to dig down into the into the conversation, into the details with them to understand what's possible. So I would stick with a maximum of 3.
3 demos.
Okay. Yeah.
And then after the demos, if you go to the next phase, how many would you pick? How many systems? Of course, you want to go for one system at the end, but
yeah. Yeah, I think by the time you're getting to that point, you're probably down to your last 1 or 2. There's probably one that from those first, if you've done your must-haves well, that will sort of jump out as, oh, this looks like it's the one for us, but maybe there's some things you need to check. Maybe there's 2 of them that are doing that. And what I would do in the case where there's 2 of them is that's when you, if they meet all your must-haves, that's where you grab your nice-to-haves and say, okay, what are the nice-to-haves that we need from a system? And then you can use those to evaluate. And probably what you also find that when you get down to that point is that's when you start to look at price. That will also be an important part of your business case. And that's where you can really start to dig a little bit as what is possible there. So what's included in the price that you're paying? Is it all of the modules and all of the things that you're looking for? Or are there things that you need to pay extra for, or maybe you're paying for, but you don't actually need everything? That's where you can really start to dig into it.
Interesting view, because often there are modules, of course. So sometimes you feel like you bought the full system, but if you want something like performance, maybe you need to top it up with another module, paying extra. So, yeah.
And each of the players in the market has a different way of pricing their systems. So trying to compare apples to apples is a very difficult thing to do. So that makes it fun. That's at least how I look at it. So
I have my clear requirements. I scheduled my demos. I shortlisted my top 2. And then?
How to convince your stakeholders, I think, is the next step, right? So you will probably have a very good idea of what you want from your seat as a head of people or a people lead, of why this system is important to you. But what you need to remember when you're building your business case is who you are talking to, who's sitting across from you in the room, and what is important to them. So how are you going to make sure that your story, your reasons for wanting this system resonates with them? And what you do is you need to put yourself in the shoes of the person that's across the room from you. Let's take a CFO, for example. So the CFO, we've all dealt with them, very numbers focused. They will be wanting to make sure that they get a return on investment for what they are investing in. And that probably is one of the main things that they will really care about. You do get often some CFOs who might also be interested in other elements, but the core part of the conversation will be around, okay, I'm spending this. What do we get in return for this? So what's important to highlight in that sort of conversation is, okay, what are the sort of cost savings that you can have from implementing this system? One of the main cost savings you'll have is because you have a system, you're not having to do all of these manual tasks. So one of the things that I like to try and do is calculate sort of how much time you're spending on admin tasks, and then times that by your hourly rate of you and your team, times that by week or whatever it is, whatever metric is, what do you want to use, and then show, hey, if we are able to implement a system, we will reduce this by, let's say, easily 50%. And you already have a big chunk of probably what you're paying is already covered in that part of the savings. And I think in terms of that conversation with the CFO, you've already got their attention straight off the bat, which is probably a good place to start with the CFO, is talking about the things that they really care about. One of the other things that I also try to cover in those sort of business cases is also things like smart tooling means less resources. So you can also think along the lines of, well, if we invest now, we won't need to have as many sort of people on the ground to be able to run some of these very manual processes, because we will automate those sort of things. That's also a cost. That's also something that will can be saved as well. But on the flip side of it, there's those things that are important to you as a HR lead. So the employee engagement, the employee experience that someone will have by having a great onboarding experience coming through the system. Like, we know that if you have an amazing onboarding, you're likely to stay longer, be happier. All of those sort of things. And there's a real return on investment for getting those things right. And these systems will help you make sure that you do that. So I think there's a lot of elements that you can capture there that will grab the CFO's attention. And it's important to make sure that you're hitting the right sort of notes for them, so that they really buy into why is this important.
So last week, we were talking about the ROI, the return on investment, and that it's sometimes a bit hard to express. But then someone else was talking about, Avelis, you probably know what I'm talking about, the RONI, the return of non-investment. RONI. So that's the RONI, that's always something that you could explain as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's definitely something that happens.
Especially when you scale. If you automate the process as well, basically you need a lot of people right now because you're starting it up. You need to make sure that everything is there, everything is in place. But one day you need less resources, but you're serving more people. So that's also something that often people forget about. But currently we're doing the groundwork. We need to build something up. And absolutely, John, I fully agree that people want to understand the return on investment, but they also need to understand that it's an investment for the future as well. So it's both ways.
Yeah, and I think one other topic that always captures attention when I'm in those sort of conversations or making those business cases around data. Data is, it comes up in all different conversations that you have. So things like, number one, data security. So you've got, instead of having those unsecure spreadsheets where information can be shared or sort of accessed quite easily, you've got a very secure system with a single sign-on, so you can only access it if you're working for the company. All of those sort of things just ensures that your data is very secure. On the flip side of that, you also have all your data in one place. So that conversation with the CFO when he's wanting to know, hey, what is our headcount number? What's our turnover? What are those sort of things? You can press it at a click of a button and you can share that information with them.
That's way more difficult with all kinds of Excel files.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and most likely not accurate. That's also what happens.
And in fact, they can press the button themselves, huh?
Yeah.
That's the best thing. We don't have to do it for them.
Self-service.
They can do it themselves. Save yourself time
as well.
That's
much faster.
And I think that's exactly right.
And next to the cheat sheet, you also created something else, right?
Is there more to give away?
Yes. So what I will also share is some steps in also how to build your business case block as well. So some of the things we've just talked about here are really important sort of nuggets of information to make sure that you cover in your business case too. And we'll give you a sort of skeleton case that you can then adjust to hopefully win over your key stakeholders in your company.
You know, I wish I had that 15 years ago.
So, John, thank you. This is very helpful. Can you quickly summarize the steps? What should we do?
Yeah. So, number one, gather your requirements using the wonderful magic cheat sheet that we're sharing. Number two, head to the market, get your demos, and get an understanding of what's out there. Narrow those down to your final two. And then number three, build your business case. Make sure that you are building your business case so that it's interesting and attractive to the stakeholders that you are talking to. And then you would have done your job. They'll say yes, and you'll go happily on with your new HR system.
Great. So thanks, John, for all your insights. I know that I'm pretty sure that everyone can benefit from your very concrete steps.
This was really insightful and helpful.
Yeah, super, super handy, because people are in general convinced that they need an HR system, but now we know how to convince others.
Yeah, and really love the template. So we would like to remind you that we have two templates that John created to get you through the process. An example of the requirements list and a template for building your business case. You can go to the link in the show notes to download them. And if you have any further questions, feel free to reach out to us via info@peoplemasterminds.com.
Yes, and if you enjoyed this tutorial, please give us a thumbs up at YouTube or leave a review, because this will help us to improve our upcoming tutorials. Also, if you want us to create a very practical tutorial about another topic, just let us know.
We would love to know what you want to know from us and what tutorials you'd like. Indeed. So thank you for tuning in, and we hope you found this tutorial helpful. We can't wait to hear back from you if you successfully implemented the system and convinced your stakeholders. So hopefully see you again soon.